Hello, welcome to Bare Naked Politics, the podcast for people who want to keep up with the headlines and who have an interest in current affairs, but who don't proclaim to be politics know-it-alls or news cycle wizards. I'm Julia Bell, and if you've listened to the pod before, I've got loud earrings on, so I'm going to take them off because they're jangling. If you've listened to the pod before, then you know that I have obviously been keeping you up with all things COVID and politics in the UK for, is it just under 8 months now? But recently over on Instagram, I remember putting a post up saying that I feel completely out the loop as to how a lot of other countries have been dealing with the pandemic. And I think it's been really easy this year to become completely engrossed in our own little UK bubble. And it's totally forgivable because we've had a lot on our plate. But I have, I think, been guilty of assuming that a lot of other governments elsewhere in the world have been dealing with the virus in the same or even in remotely similar ways to us. Which is, of course, completely untrue. In a lot of places, the culture is just so different that the rules that applied here in Britain just wouldn't work out there. And then there's, of course, some countries where the leaders themselves don't even believe in the gravity of the pandemic, Brazil being a really key example there. And then, of course, we can't forget the places where COVID-19 at this point is more of a memory than an immediate threat. In large, I would say, due to decisive actions that leaders in those places have taken. Let's be real, New Zealand is a key example of that. So for anyone else who finds themselves in my position, where they realise they haven't checked out how the last year or so has been in faraway places, I thought I'd put together a little bonus mini-series, just purely to satisfy my own curiosity and anyone else's in my boat, where I reach out to friends and followers and acquaintances in different spots of the planet whose leaders have dealt particularly differently with the pandemic to ours here in the four nations of the UK. Who, yes, between those four nations, England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, it has been slightly different. If you're listening to this from Scotland, you'll probably be abiding by slightly different rules to what I'm following down in London. But it is all much of a muchness if you compare the last year and a half to, you know, the experiences in a person in Japan, for example, which incidentally is where we're going to start this little journey. The reason I'm starting it in Japan, it just felt like a good place to start. It's in the news a fair bit at the moment because the Olympic Games, which is due to be held in Tokyo, is looming with a scheduled start date of July the 23rd, 2021. It was obviously postponed. It was meant to happen last year in 2020. But with it just literally, 2 months? Hang on, where are we now? May, June, July? Yeah, 2 months around the corner. COVID is not a thing of the past in Japan. In fact, cases are seriously rising and have been for a few months now. So the controversy that's in the news is that question of, is the Olympics going to happen or are they going to be forced to cancel it? And until very recently, the Japanese government had been consistently refusing to acknowledge that debate. And they'd been insisting that the Olympic Games were going ahead, whatever the weather. Although, as of the last week or so, they've slightly wavered on that. So the Japanese Prime Minister, Yoshihide Suga, he said he would, quote, not put the Olympics first, which isn't committing to cancelling it at all, but it's sort of saying, OK, maybe we won't prioritise it. But it's not all up to him. It's also up to the International Olympics Committee, or the IOC, who seem pretty dead set that it is going to go ahead. So with the government kind of wavering, but mostly sat on the side of let's do it, and the IOC saying let's do it, it looks like it's going to happen at this rate, even though cases are not looking good in Japan. And it is probably worth mentioning that that is the complete opposite opinion to how most of the public feel in Japan. I saw on BBC News that in the polls, 70% of the Japanese public would rather that the games were cancelled. So I think it's just quite an insightful experience to get the perspective of someone who's living out there. I'm not really interested in getting another journalist's take on this. I don't want a political commentary as much as I just want to hear another person's experiences. What's your year been like compared to mine? So in terms of who I chatted to out in Japan, if you remember a couple of months ago, I did this huge giveaway in collaboration with Gearbox Records, who are an independent record label who focus on vinyl. Their HQ is here in London, but with Japan having such a massive jazz scene, naturally, Gearbox does have an office out in Tokyo. So I reached out to the lovely Romy, who's the head of Gearbox Records Japan, and she kindly sat down for about half an hour or so and talked me through the last 18 months of her life. Bear in mind, this conversation did take place a few weeks ago. I've had to obviously cover the local elections and all sorts of political fallout from that, but you know, I wanted to get this out to you. So this conversation took place a couple of weeks ago. Romy does mention in our conversation that she expects a state of emergency might come in. That now has been declared in Tokyo because of these rising COVID rates. I started off our conversation by telling her all about what lockdown's been like here in the UK. And I asked her if her experiences in Japan had been at all similar.
Well, Japan's very different. I think you'll be very surprised if you come here right now, because things are normal. We've never had lockdown.
What?
Yeah. For some reason, I think it has to do with like a Japanese constitution saying that you have to protect personal rights. So you cannot force people to do anything. So the only thing they do is they ask and hope that people will listen.
Wow, so it was never a law that you had to stay home?
No. It's just voluntary restraint.
And when you say voluntary, how much did the public go with that? Did people abide by it out of respect, or did nobody listen?
I guess so. The closest thing to lockdown, we call it declaration of state of emergency. Mm-hmm. When that happened, the restaurants had to close by 8 o'clock at night. That's pretty much it.
Wow,
everything's open. It's just, yeah, you have to close by 8 p.m. and go home.
So a curfew, basically.
Yeah.
Was the extent of it.
The first emergency state happened in April 2020, which lasted for a month. And that was the most strict one. And for that 1 month, I think gym, bars, movie theaters, and school, those were closed. And then they lifted the emergency state and the numbers got worse again. So they asked for another one in January this year and then lifted again last month, but then it's getting worse again. So rumor says it's happening again this week, sometime this week.
Okay.
But it's not going to be as strict as the first one. So everything will be open, but has to be closed by 8 o'clock.
Wow. And as a member of the like Japanese public, just watching what the government were doing, surely at some point you were thinking they're going to put us in a lockdown because of the rest of the world is going into lockdown. Surely Japan will. Or did you always know that culturally that wouldn't really fit with what the Japanese government...
I'm puzzled. Like, I wish they would put us in lockdown, because obviously it's not working, this state of emergency. The numbers are actually getting worse than a year ago. And I think this has to do with the Olympics. The government don't want to make it sound too serious because they want the Olympics to happen. And it's only 3 months till Olympics, so they don't want to bring in anything strict.
Yeah.
And make it sound like the situation is getting worse.
Do you think if there was an election tomorrow, would the current government be re-elected?
Probably not.
Right.
We are all really frustrated with how they're dealing with this COVID situation.
And what's their reasoning been? Why haven't they said, has their reasoning purely been, you know, we out of respect, we don't want to tell you what to do? Or do you think there's also secretly they care more about the Olympics than they do about public health?
I think so. Olympics and the economy.
Right. Has the economy taken a hit?
So when the first declaration of emergency happened, the government gave us compensation to every single Japanese person living in Japan, actually not Japanese, but every single person living in Japan, about 100,000 yen per person.
I wonder what that is in pounds. Do you have any idea?
It's about 750 pounds.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah,
okay. We were happy. Considering you weren't actually in lockdown. So that was just compensation for the fact that you had a curfew.
And for the second state of emergency, they paid to the restaurants and bars who followed the rules about 400 pounds per day.
So no, so the government were hemorrhaging money, surely.
Yeah, but I don't think they can continue doing that for this time around.
Right.
So, yeah, they're running out of money.
And right now you said there is nothing. You're potentially going to have another curfew, but at the moment you can travel, you can go to bars, you can go to work. Is it as if the pandemic never happened where you are?
Yes. Yeah, we can travel if we want to. A lot of people are traveling.
Out of the country or just around Japan?
Within Japan.
Right. And what about rules in day-to-day life? So for instance, here, lockdown is lifted. We are allowed to go out, but social distancing and wearing masks, regular hand washing, these are all pretty much laws now.
Yes, we are being told to wear masks and socially distance ourselves, but I don't think police can force us to do anything even if we don't follow. So there have been incidents like on the train when there's someone who is not wearing mask and another person, you know, asks for him to put on a mask and they get into an argument. Things happen like that. But there isn't any rule that anyone can force another to do anything. So it's difficult.
Why do you think that is? Why is there such a focus on the government and the authorities not telling you what to do when it's an emergency?
Some people say that, you know, Japanese people are obedient enough so that, you know, you don't need to actually force a law for them to follow. But I really don't know what the real answer is.
I think that is something that I was expecting you to say. I think culturally, like, you know, I've heard a lot about how Japan, there's a huge level of respect that younger people are meant to have for their elders, for example. And it throws complications in when technically a younger person is in charge of an older person, because then it's like, how do you go about this? So I was actually expecting you to say that the government had been quite, you know, draconian because it's a submissive culture in a lot of ways. But I'm surprised to hear that the government have just like left you to it. Do you think then that theory about Japanese people being kind of culturally respectful has meant that people do generally just stick to what they think is acceptable? They do wear masks, they do show socially distance on the whole.
Yes, we're very familiar with wearing masks even before COVID. It's in our culture. We like wearing masks because just to prevent from getting sick or getting flu. But I think at this point, a lot of people are getting tired of self-regulation. In the beginning, they were following, but now it's been a year and people are stressed out, and so people stop listening to the government,
right?
And that's what's making the situation worse.
How is the vaccine rollout going in Japan?
Oh, very, very slow.
That's worrying, considering you've got the Olympics around the corner.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess the only vaccine that's been approved is the Pfizer one. Huh. And we don't have enough. It started in February, and it started from the healthcare workers. But at this point, only like one third of them have had vaccine. So it's very slow than expected. The plan was by now the elder people would have gotten vaccinated, but no, I think that's going to happen after May, and then younger people probably by summer. And currently, they say that by the end of September, we are all going to get vaccinated, but we don't know if that's going to go as planned.
How confident are you in the vaccine and your friends? Like, is the conversation everyone is going to get it quite happily, or are there conversations about mistrust?
I think more people are eager to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Or else nothing's going to change. I think we want to go out and go back to traveling. So if vaccine's going to allow that, then we'll take it.
Okay, because here it's a very, very political conversation. Now the government's main focus, I think, is trying to create good publicity around the vaccine. And there's advertisements for that as well. But do you think the Japanese public have a lot of trust in, right, well, if the government wants us to do it, it must be safe?
Maybe it's because Pfizer is the one that's in our country. If anything else comes in, things might change.
Right.
Okay. For instance, the one that's made in China, I forgot the name. Mm-hmm. I think the Chinese government said they're providing free vaccine to all athletes, for Olympic athletes. But I think some Japanese athletes are hesitant.
Yeah, I heard about this. I mean, it's interesting. So China has essentially said to Japan, you haven't rolled out a vaccine. You need the Olympics to happen. Why don't we help you and give you ours? And the Japanese government have said, no, thank you. Which is kind of a political thing to say.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you feel about the fact that the Olympics is taking place in a few months? Are you glad, or are you kind of thinking this is silly?
I think it's silly. I think it's very unrealistic. It's less than 3 months and, you know, vaccines not happening, and then we're bringing people from outside, and there isn't a confirmed rule as to what to do with those athletes. Are they going to get a 2 weeks quarantine or not? We don't know anything, and we still don't know what the maximum capacity of the stadium is. So the ticket is not, the ticket sales is not moving. So it's very unrealistic if it would happen.
Yeah.
But they're saying it's happening.
But do you think there'll be crowds going to watch it in person?
I think so, for the Japanese games at least. But I don't know about other countries. I don't know how much Japanese people care about other teams.
Right. Of course. Oh, yeah. So any Olympic athletes from anywhere else in the world, if Japan aren't taking place, it'll be empty.
Yeah, it could be empty. That's why it's very poor athletes.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose I've kind of got an idea of this, but just finally then, in terms of the public's perception of the government before the pandemic even happened, how popular were they and how much trust was there? And then how has that changed to now?
The Japanese prime minister actually changed in the middle of this pandemic due to health reasons. So it's actually a different guy running right now. But I think in terms of popularity, they're not much difference. They're both not doing very good with controlling COVID. So I think we are hoping for some new government to come in.
It's just fascinating to hear somebody on the other side of the world say, I wish we'd had lockdown. It's all right, Romy, thank you so much for chatting.
All right.
I'll see you in London. Bye, you too. Big thank you to Romy, who took the time to chat to me a few weeks ago. I don't know about you, but I found it just quite helpful to check in with someone on literally the opposite side of the world. It just kind of stops me from getting engrossed in my own little bubble and thinking that everyone's having the same experience as me, which clearly they're totally not. And it just kind of offered me a bit of perspective. I hope it did you too. Over the last week or so, I've been talking to people in different places. I've spoken to somebody in Sweden, spoken to someone in New Zealand and in Brazil, three countries who have all handled the pandemic completely differently to us and even more differently to each other. So I will trickle those little mini chats out for you in the coming weeks. If there is a particular place in the world that you are intrigued by and that you'd like to hear a similar conversation between me and somebody out there, let me know and I'll do my very best to see if I can scrape my network to see who I know out there. If you've got a suggestion, get in touch with me on social media at JuliaBell_X and I'll see what I can do. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this podcast, you find it helpful, the best thing to do to keep it going is to become a patron. You can do that by clicking the link in the episode description. And apart from that, I hope you have a fabulous week. If you're living in the UK, let me know if you've been making the most of being able to have a pint indoors. Oh, the indoor pint, one of life's small pleasures that I will never take for granted again. So make sure you let me know if you've been doing that. I shall be doing much of it this weekend, and I will speak to you in the next episode. Okay, goodbye.